This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Padres able to take game three of the series. 65 degrees. Northwest breeze at 100 and a what?
Breeze at 100.
Wow. Gale force.
That's hurricane. It's 111 miles per hour. It's really windy. It's like it's
done. Watch your hair hat tonight.
Man the decks. Now, all hands. Mateys.
It's unbelievable.
We're back live with the Score Midday Show at Sluggers in Wrigleyville on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, we are. We're here at Sluggers, and so is everybody else. A huge crowd as we are here from Wrigleyville, brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois Sports Betting, the way it should be. We even have some Padres fans here in brown and gold. No Navy for them.
You know what? We're a hospitable group. If they want to hang out, they can hang out.
I mean, they seem to be having a good time.
Well, you know why they're having a good time.
They are, because our next guest is here. He is originally from Joliet. He's a former major league pitcher. He had to put up with me when I was a rookie sideline reporter. Fox Sports San Diego's TV analyst, Mark Grant, Mudcat from Joliet. And you still sometimes get to hang out with us in Chicago. It's so nice of you to join us here at Sluggers.
Layla, it is so nice to see you. Marshall, it's a pleasure to meet you. For all you Chicago fans out there, first of all, you guys rock. But Padres, brown and gold. I bleed brown and gold. I love my Friars. I grew up a Cubs fan. This is really electric, what you guys got going here in Chicago, here at Sluggers. I'm honored to be here. But Chicago fans, through and through, you are really lucky, not only to have a guy like Marshall, but Layla Rahimi. This woman has, I am so proud of her. I'm like a proud father for his daughter. She has done a great job here, starting out in San Diego, before San Diego did some great things, of course. But landing here in Chicago, you are so lucky to have Layla Rahimi here in the sports world. So thank you very much.
I was blessed to be, I think, just not only included by you and at the time Dick Enberg, Mark Sweeney, Mike Pomeranz, right, the Fox Sports San Diego crew, but how much you guys really care to teach baseball as part of the broadcast.
Well, we love the game. And I know Chicago fans, Padre fans, we love the game. We love to talk the game. And being from Joliet, growing up in a baseball family, I had family that played professionally. It's what I wanted to do. I grew up a Cub fan. My first game was here at Wrigley Field with my dad when I was 7 years old. I remember they played the New York Mets. Jim Hickman hit a home run. Tommy Agee hit a home run for the Mets. I remember eating a hot dog, and I was done with the wrapper. My dad said, oh, I'll just throw it on the ground. I said, that's littering. We can't litter here at Wrigley Field. He goes, no, that's, don't worry about it. There's no trash can. But anyway, a lot of fond memories here, and coming back to Chicago, it's electric.
Well, and people know where you work, but they still love you. Like, we've got texters coming in saying, you know, how much they appreciate you still always representing Joliet and just having that as part of your roots, even though, yes, you are a Friar loyal. There's no doubt about that.
We have a lot of baseball history in Joliet. For the Chicago fans that are great fans, you all know. Guys, my idol growing up was Bill Gullickson. Pitched for the Expos and the Reds and the Yankees and a tour in Japan. Jack Percanti, Sean Bergman, Mike Allstott.
There it is.
The Purdue Boilermaker and Tampa Bay Buccaneer from Joliet. And I'm leaving some people out, but it's just a great place to grow up, and it was a great time.
The list is long, kind of like that long Padres lineup you bring into town.
Yeah, it is long, isn't it?
Listen.
How about us being undefeated, Marshall, and still in second place?
No, we talked about it. A half game out. You haven't played as many games as the Dodgers, so technically you're in second place. Even though you are even with them in the loss column, you're both perfect in that regard. And I know the Cubs and their fans feeling pretty good because they miss Yu Darvish. Mm-hmm. They miss Dylan Cease, who everyone in this city is well aware of what he's capable of. But how would you describe what's happened with this team this season and if maybe they've surpassed even your expectations out of the gate?
They have. If somebody came to me, Marshall, and said the Padres will start out 7-0, I would have bet my mortgage. I would have probably put my kids up. I would have put my wife up and said, hey, here's the bet, whatever.
Not the wife.
Well, you never know. Anyway, no. But you know the old cliche, everything's clicking on all cylinders, and it's such a tired cliche, but I'll use it because I'm a tired act. Anyway, it's that. I mean, Manny Machado has, what, 4 stolen bases. Everybody's running. Perfect timing. Timely hitting. Two outs with runners in scoring position. The starting rotation, they're getting some big innings, so they're getting some breathing room. It's nice to go out there when they just dropped a 4 spot, and you can make a mistake for a run or two, whatever the case may be. Throwing to the right bases. Pickoffs. Everything is just going so well for San Diego right now.
Well, and to me, one of the biggest bright spots for the Padres is it was so unexpected, given that they have a lot. Of course, they have injuries. You know, Yu Darvish, we're not going to see him. He's on the injured list. That's a trade that is still very pivotal to a lot of Cubs fans, of course, when it comes to just what happened, the return, how it happened. But also, you know, here I am talking about Martin Maldonado catching. You know, there are some veterans and some moves had to be made where maybe some older names who aren't, they're older. They don't have the same seasons they used to have. Mm-hmm. But still, it's working in a way that has been so productive in what is the hardest division in baseball.
It's A.J. Preller magic. I mean, he's done a fine job of constructing a roster. And when you mention the older players, look at our bench and look at our roster as far as guys that had made the team. Those are guys that have been there. Yuli Gurriel, Martin Maldonado, right? And these are guys that are coming through off the bench, maybe handling the pitching staff. But it's one thing that has happened with A.J. Preller. He wants a seasoned staff, a seasoned bench, a team that knows how to do it and have been there before, and that's exactly what's happening right now. Gurriel coming up with some big hits. Maldonado doing a great job handling the pitching staff. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah, we saw Maldonado here, and obviously when you're talking about the seasoned staff, because of the gruel of a 162-game schedule and the nature of how baseball has changed over the last couple of decades, everybody's going to play, and everyone is going to have to contribute. Yeah. You're not going to have guys playing 162 games a year.
And it's more than 26-man roster, there's no doubt. There's teams 40, 45, some guys, some teams even 50. That's why it's so important to have some depth in the minor leagues as well. We do have some depth in the minor leagues, guys that have big league time. And that was one of the tough decisions in spring training this year for Mike Shildt and his staff. There was about 5 or 6 players to where it was like, what do we do with these guys? For instance, Tyler Wade, he passed waivers. He's in El Paso. Good big league player. Mm-hmm. Eggy Rosario, very serviceable, can play a lot of positions, can hit a little bit. Went through waivers, now he's in Triple A. So the point is, there's going to be roster transitions and there's going to be up and down. We all know this. There's going to be injuries. So it's nice to have that depth in the minor leagues.
Well, and it's funny because I know Yuli Gurriel is 40.
I know,
here
right?
I am still having to look it up in like quintuple check.
He's collecting Social Security as he plays Major League Baseball right now for Yuli Gurriel.
Good for him. But that's kind of the point here is number one, he doesn't play like he's that age.
Yeah, he doesn't. It's like I've always said, Marshall, Layla, playing baseball or any sport really, it's like you age in dog years. You may go from 34 to 35, but with the way you play the game and the grind that it has mentally and physically, you're not, he may be 40, but he may be like in a 44-year-old or 45-year-old body. He keeps himself in great shape, but I tell you what, these guys, is anyone ever really 100%? Especially after playing the ball game this long? Really not, but I tell you what, he looks like he's in great shape. And I think that's kind of like the fountain of youth to where guys, they get, maybe they think, I'm not speaking for these guys, but they maybe say, this might be my last run. Mm-hmm. This might be my last go-around. So, hey, I'm going to make the most of it.
several guys on this team. It's not going to be their last go or last go around. I like the lineup construction for that team. Tell me what you expect to see in this series overall with the Cubs playing the way that they've been playing. There have been some people discounting what they were able to do in their last series because Sacramento is Sacramento, and it's not, I don't know, the Coliseum or wherever you want to see the A's play. But this seems like a pivotal matchup for both these teams. One for an undefeated Padres team because you can't really afford to lose ground on the Dodgers, and you can even argue the Giants and the other teams in the division, and obviously the Cubs trying to create some breakaway speed, if you will, from the rest of their division.
I think you're going to see the Padres try to utilize their running game as much as they can in situational-type hitting. Imanaga is a great pitcher, right? His last year, rookie season, was phenomenal. Really good pitcher. So I think today will be a test, Marshall, of how the Padres go about hitting him in certain situations. If you try to pull him all the time, pull, it's not going to work. You're just going to, you know, just do a lot of grounding out stuff. But this Padre team, they really have a good idea of how to situational type hit. And when you got a guy like Shota on the mound today who knows how to pitch, it'll be interesting seeing the matchups, how they utilize and use their at-bats given the situation, first and second, runners at second, third, whatever the case may be. But they've been doing a fine job of doing it. And the running game, too, I think, might come into play.
I like the old school. All the stuff you're talking about just takes me back to when I grew up watching baseball, and people did run and do all the things.
Yeah. And when the Padres, before they moved the fences in, there was a lot of having to manufacture offense. We are talking with Padres TV analyst Mark Grant, who is kind enough to join us here from Sluggers. And I think it's so important to analyze this series because this is going to repeat itself in a couple of weeks. You know, the Cubs end up playing the Padres in San Diego 14th, 15th, and 16th. So to preview this series, you're really going to get an indication of these two teams quickly the next time out. One of the big pitching matchups for me in this one is Pivetta against Boyd tomorrow. Yeah. Like, Matt Boyd, we've seen really, I think, pitch well so far. He touched 95 in Japan, a little fast for him, but he's been pitching well. Padres pick up Pivetta. Those are two, I think, really savvy pickups by both teams.
Pivetta was dealing last time out. To be honest with you, I didn't know a lot about Nick Pivetta prior to, I mean, just watching him a lot. I didn't really see him a lot. But after watching that game, this was a guy possessed. His stomping around, I don't mean stomping around, but confidence on the mound when he showed out there, like he was in charge. He had the fastball upstairs, 96, 97. He's got that yacker of a breaking ball. He was just dicing and slicing up hitters. So once again, A.J. Preller, you know, scouring, you know, we needed, you know, with some of the injuries, Joe Musgrove out for the year, Yu Darvish, of course. Now Nick Pivetta into the mix. My goodness. And with the defense that the Padres have and scoring a little bit of offense, I think it's a very high ceiling for Nick Pivetta. What a great pickup.
Now, I know you said you bleed brown and gold. Correct me if I'm misquoting you here. But you are from Joliet.
Yes.
You are a Chicago guy through and through.
Yeah.
So when it comes to other teams, are you still connected to, say, the Bears, the Blackhawks, the Bulls?
I do follow those teams. I do it not religiously to where I'm like, oh, the Bulls are on tonight, or the Hawks, the puck drops at, you know, 7:15 or whatever the case may be.
I mean, Ovi might.
Some people follow the rules. I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pick up the record today if he gets a
hat
trick. There's
how about that?
Piece of
it might come against the Blackhawks. So.
Yeah, I know. What a great player! All right, I mean, let's face it.
You got to tip your cap to one of the greatest of all time.
Longevity, but it is hard for me to where Gretzky's not going to be at that top spot, right? And that's just my generation. He was the greatest, you know. To me, as far as he still is the greatest, but here's another tired cliche. You know, records are made to be broken, right? So
not Cal Ripken's.
Yeah, that's true, too. That one will not be broken. But, I love the Hawks. I love the Bulls. Love the Bears. Bears need to get something going on their O-line in the interior, man. Maybe a left guard.
That's it.
No,
that's
they've addressed it. They made trades.
Bring back Bob Avellini.
Wow. Okay, you want to turn back the hands of time.
Bring back Bobby Douglas, will you?
You're right about the O-line, though. And I feel like they think that they have their starting, at least confident, in guard, center, guard, right? So Joe Tooney on the left side, Jonah Jackson on the right side. Former Rams, so they're going to see how that goes.
How bad do they miss football in San Diego? Or are they just...
They do.
They're just upset about it and just...
Well,
I know...
Padre fans. Padre fans are here. Chargers?
No,
they feel like the Chargers
betrayed
them.
The Padres have forsaken them.
There are some that are
still... The Chargers betrayed you guys.
There are still some that are diehard, though, Charger fans. That, you know, there's a few there. But it's a brown and gold town.
This is an inaccurate sample size. We only have two fans here.
I appreciate it.
But, you know, the reason I also wanted to talk to you is because the schedule for the Cubs, rather, is mostly AL and NL West to start the year.
Good teams.
Already had two games against the Dodgers, split the series with the Diamondbacks in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I know you're keeping a keen eye on them because I feel like they made a lot of changes to try to also be in the same position as the Padres or try to be competitive and make the playoffs.
NL West is going to be tough, I think. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes,
I know. I don't think I know.
But like, your analysis of the division is important.
Oh, the Giants are going to be a sneaky team, I think.
Yes.
The Diamondbacks are good. They've proven that. You got the Dodgers, of course, and then the Rockies. Hey,
well, poor Rockies.
Well, how about check out Layla? I mean, check out the last like five, or ever since the Rockies have played against the Padres. It's one of those teams that's like the kryptonite for San Diego. It's unbelievable. So that's very, very important too, to beat up on the Rockies this season.
But here too. That was really more the case in 2023 when the Cubs were trying to make the playoffs and unfortunately just laid a couple eggs against the Rockies, had series against them in September, and it was partially what did them in.
You know, the Cubs schedule, a lot of – you mentioned that, right? So if you're going to – I would think the Cubs' analysis would be or thought would be to try to at least play 500 against those teams, because I'm not going to say it's going to get easier because it never gets easier in this game. It's always tough. But to have those teams early in May or April and May, and then all of a sudden you'd rather – kind of struggle early and finish late strongly. So rather than, you know, hot and then towards the middle or towards the end, kind of just spiral. So stay tuned to that one.
And I hate to ask you this because a former pitcher doesn't like to be asked
about
this.
I know it's coming.
We did with Steve Stone as well yesterday. What do you think of these torpedo bats, Mud?
You know what? I have looked into this at great length, and I wanted to do a little experiment because if, you know, there are regulation, there are specifications that have to meet major league standards. So if the bat is as round as that can be without being, you know, like one of those wiffle ball bats as a kid, where the big red one, right? I see no problem using it. If it's the specifications and it doesn't cause a whatever.
Do you think it's making a difference, or is it just too early to tell?
Do you think that if this happened to the Marlins or the and nothing against the Marlins.
So this is a big market bias for the Yankees on the East Coast.
If it were the Rockies, for example, outside of Coors Field.
Do you think it would have been as big as a story? I don't know. I don't know.
I think the biggest part of the story that people are willfully almost ignoring, Aaron Judge doesn't use that bat, and he's still hitting bombs.
Right, right, exactly. It might be a case where they're going to hit home runs, but it might go by the wayside a little bit. But I tell you what, they sure made a splash, and the torpedo bat looks more like a bowling pin though when you stand it up.
Yes,
right.
It does. And I just was curious your thoughts, because as an observer,
it wouldn't bother
me
as a pitcher. I would, you still got to stick to your strengths. And
also, if they swing and miss, they swing and miss.
Absolutely.
And then one more for you.
Yes.
Our friend Will Venable.
William, I love William.
Getting his first major league managerial job. I loved working with him in San Diego. I know you did too.
Yes.
What do you think of this?
I love it. Will, I call him William because I played with his dad, Max, in the Giants chain. And I met them, when I was playing with Max and Molly. And I thought it was so cute because I was talking to Molly when he was in San Diego. Oh, how's William doing? So she called him William. So I always started calling him William. So I call him William. I love William. He's a great kid. He's a great egg. What a great opportunity. I think he's got the type of personality to where what he's up against as far as with the team, he's got a good attitude. He tries to stay. And you look at his coaching chain to where the people he worked under, I think that will help him as well down the line. But it's a great opportunity for William.
The important thing is he's in first place right now.
That's right. Right.
Bunch of teams at 2-4.
In the AL Comedy Central.
Is that what y'all are calling it?
It's kind of the opposite of the NL West when you think about it.
Right, right.
When you think about it. But that's good news because everybody can feel like they might be at the top at some point. So there's that part of it.
He's a baseball guy through and through, and that's all you can ask. And I tell you, he's going to be prepared. He's a smart kid. He knows the game. And once again, when you look at when he played under Bruce Bochy. He and the coaching tree that he was under, he was here in Chicago, obviously, first base coach. Was that under Joe Madden?
Yes. That was Joe Madden.
Was he under Joe Madden for a while?
Yes, he was.
So that tree of coaches or managers that he was under and then him learning, and let's face it, it all boils down to the talent on the field. And
They're working on the south side. They're working on the talent on the field part.
It's how you manage those egos and attitudes and people. I remember talking to some managers. I said, you know, what's the easiest part of your job? He goes, from first pitch to last pitch. It's all the other stuff in between the games that really kind of make it a difficult gig.
Always sharing his knowledge and his energy. And I got to say this, because you always say it, bud. Social sparklers.
Oh, social sparklers all the way around.
Hey, they're here. Yeah. Tons of social sparklers in the building.
It's a great phrase to use on a broadcast. Mark Grant, the TV analyst for the Padres, also, of course, from Joliet. So nice of you to join
us. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thanks, Marshall. Man. Good luck to you guys.
Thank you so much. Thanks again to Mudcat for joining us from Slugger.
Hello, Chicago.
Love it.
Hello, San Diego.
I know, and our two Padres fans.
Go Padres.
We have more coming up here from all the fans here at Sluggers, because we got to talk some Final Four. Joe Ostrowski will join us to talk about wagertainment, what they can look at, some MLB futures.
I'm all about the MLB futures. I want to know where Kyle Tucker is on these MVP odds now.
Don't say that in front of the Padres guy. He's got some guys who might be on there too.
He'll be all right.
We have more from Sluggers with you next on The Score.
Joe Ostrowski, host of Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network.
That's a lot of value on a very talented team.
Getting you ready for your wagertainment weekend.
The public's been killing the books.
Joe Ostrowski.
Oh, yeah, he's got a lot of Herbert Hoover in him.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
On The Score. Score.
As we broadcast live through the Hyundai Studios, because we are live at Sluggers here in Wrigleyville. Joe Ostrowski now joining us on our hotline. And Joe, I think we have to start with what's happening in March, because even though there was not a lot of madness, if you will, with you have the all one seed Final Four for the first time since 2008, this may be where it gets good, where there's some differential, where you might actually be able to make some money and some hay.
Love Sluggers, guys. I definitely was not there drinking at 18 years old, watching Jordan wrapping up his career, because it was known as, hey, man, they don't card you. Even if you're looking like 14, 15,
yo,
you're good to go. I'm sure that's not the case anymore.
Don't put our people on blast.
Everybody looks like adults here, you know,
yes,
from what I've seen.
Yeah.
Somebody said they saw Randy Wells and we were trying to figure it out. So there might even be some incidental cameos here at Sluggers today.
Yeah.
Let's get right to the basketball to start off. So yep. How are you looking this second time we've had, you know, all number one seeds do their thing in quite some time? I just wonder, because I had Alabama winning it all. Obviously, that did not work out for anyone. And now I'm looking at Duke harder and harder, and it feels like almost destiny at this point.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and I hope that's true, because I know you talked to Sam Panionovich the other day about
it. I know you got a little
ticket
money
on Duke. Yeah, I mean, we're feeling good about it, and I think anybody would look at it and say, yes, that is the best team right now. But I also want to take a step back. Like, let's not forget that at the end of the season, most people are considering Florida the best team, even though they haven't looked as dominant in the tournament, and that Auburn, they were the overall number one seed on Selection Sunday. I think all of these teams at one point this year were considered the best, but got the 4-1s. You have the top three offenses in efficiency. Maybe it's been a little boring for some throughout the tournament, but what is setting up here is what should be a phenomenal Final Four. And yes, I do think Duke wins it, Marshall, but I'm looking at these 4-1s, guys, and I'm like, anything can happen. And I think people will be surprised if Duke does not win, but all of these teams have shown what they can do, that they can play to this level throughout the season.
Joe, do we want to talk about what happened with your wife's survivor pool?
Ooh. Yes. No, I'm good, because I was actually driving around the south suburbs of Chicago listening to you guys, and Sam was on, and there's nothing like turning on the radio and then hearing you just get gut punched again and again and again. And he just happened to leave out the most important context of that conversation, and
which
why I said, yes, wife, go ahead and take Tennessee. The context was she wasn't winning the pool if she stuck with Houston, which was her original pick, because she was behind in points. So she needed to have some game theory there. But Sammy P just happened to leave that part of the conversation out.
Joe Ostrowski now joining us on our hotline. And Joe, I think we have to start with what's happening in March, because even though there was not a lot of madness, if you will, with you have the all one seed Final Four for the first time since 2008, this may be where it gets good, where there's some differential, where you might actually be able to make some money and some hay.
Love Sluggers, guys. I definitely was not there drinking at 18 years old, watching Jordan wrapping up his career, because it was known as, hey, man, they don't card you. Even if you're looking like 14, 15, you're good to go. I'm sure that's not the case anymore.
I'm sure people on blast.
Everybody looks like adults here, you know,
yes.
From what I've seen.
Yeah.
Somebody said they saw Randy Wells and we were trying to figure it out. So there might even be some incidental cameos here at Sluggers today.
Yeah.
Joe, let's get right to the basketball to start off. So yep. How are you looking this second time we've had, you know, all number one seeds do their thing in quite some time? I just wonder, because I had Alabama winning it all. Obviously, that did not work out for anyone. And now I'm looking at Duke harder and harder, and it feels like almost destiny at this point.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and I hope that's true, because I know you talked to Sam Panionovich the other day about
it. I know you got a ticket on Duke.
Yeah, I mean, we're feeling good about it. And I think anybody would look at it and say, yes, that is the best team right now. But I also want to take a step back. Like, let's not forget that at the end of the season, most people are considering Florida the best team, even though they haven't looked as dominant in the tournament. And that Auburn, they were the overall number one seed on Selection Sunday. I think all of these teams at one point this year were considered the best. But got the 4-1s. You have the top three offenses in efficiency. Maybe it's been a little boring for some throughout the tournament, but what is setting up here is what should be a phenomenal Final Four. And yes, I do think Duke wins it, Marshall, but I'm looking at these 4-1s, guys, and I'm like, anything can happen. And I think people will be surprised if Duke does not win, but all of these teams have shown what they can do, that they can play to this level throughout the season.
Joe, do we want to talk about what happened with your wife's survivor pool?
Ooh. Yes. No, I'm good, because I was actually driving around the south suburbs of Chicago listening to you guys, and Sam was on. And there's nothing like turning on the radio and then hearing you just get gut punched again and again and again. And he just happened to leave out the most important context of that conversation, and
which
why I said, yes, wife, go ahead and take Tennessee. The context was she wasn't winning the pool if she stuck with Houston, which was her original pick, because she was behind in points. So she needed to have some game theory there. But Sammy P just happened to leave that part of the conversation out. But yes, listening, I'd be like, Joe Ostrowski is a moron if he told his wife to take Rick Barnes in the Elite Eight. Because I'm someone that has bet against Rick Barnes many, many times. But yeah, she did not win. I should have let her learn, go win with Houston, because she would not have won anyways. But anyways, but yeah, that was stupid.
Unfortunately, that was not an unexpected. That was pretty expected. Mm-hmm. At some point, you knew offensively that might happen with that Tennessee team.
Yeah, yeah. There's no
Joe,
doubt about
that. It's hard to believe this, but the NBA season ends next week.
Looks it's hard like, for Marshall to believe it. We have to console him.
Well, I do enjoy NBA. Although I love the NBA playoffs, specifically the Western Conference playoffs, because they're going to be an absolute fecal matter show, as far as I can tell. So
that sounds worse, not cussing. How is that possible?
Well, I'm just, you know, trying to be FCC compliant here. Joe, mm-hmm. Tell me what you have on the Bulls as we kind of ride through the end of this.
All right, yeah. Everybody was laughing at me on the show the other day. But, like, it's the question, the weekly question for Marshall Harris. What are the Bulls to make the playoffs? And it's got to be considered. It is plus 350. And I brought it up the other day, and everybody's laughing at me. I'm like, look, I don't really want it to happen, but there's a chance it happens, because they're in the play-in, and two of these four bad teams are going to be in the playoffs. So what are the chances? So I started to look back at since they had the play-in with four teams. All right, the Bulls are the 10 right now. it's got to happen, right? It must happen, right? And I look at it, I'm like, oh, the 10 seed is 0-8. In making the actual playoffs, getting to that 7 or 8 spot, because it's tough to go back-to-back winning those road games. But I would like them to get the 9. They're just a half game back. But I just look at it, Marshall. I'm like, okay, 2 of these 4 teams are going to get in. None of them are great. And I'm getting almost 4-1. I think the opportunity is there. I don't think it's the worst idea in the world to take the Bulls just because of the opponents they're going to have.
No, plus 350, I like that, especially when you start looking at the other schedules, the fact that Orlando and the Hawks, they play each other, and then I think Orlando only has 4 games left, and the other 2 games are against, I think, the Celtics and the Bucks. So I could see them getting to 9 easily, actually, and then the possibility of 8 exists as long as they don't lose to anyone on their schedule, not named the Cleveland Cavaliers.
He's in.
Thank you.
I get it.
And we'll check on this next week. Want to ask you about this Cubs-Padres series, too. It seems like there's a lot of possibilities for people who want to wager.
Yeah, you guys are just talking about how tough that division is. I look at it overall, I'm like, I like most of these teams here. I like the Diamondbacks. They're 4-3. They don't have that 7-0 record that the Padres have, but big picture wise, it wouldn't surprise me if they were able to get back to the World Series. Like, that's how good they are. Obviously, with the Dodgers undefeated. But from a gambling perspective, guys, the headline in this game today is how low the total runs is. The Cubs just coming off a series where there was an offensive explosion. I think an interesting storyline will be in Sacramento, that it's going to be like the new Coors Field for a year, where it's just built for runs, and more runs. And then you look today, Cubs-Padres, with the weather there over at Clark and Addison, and it is the lowest total on the board of all the games today. It has been between 6.5 and 7, cold temperatures, wind is blowing in, so a lot of respected money coming in on the under guys. It's a small sample, but Imanaga against the Padres, Vasquez against the Cubs, both very successful, like low exit velos, hitting under 200. So a lot of respected money coming in on the under there. And Marshall, I know you're interested in Tucker for the MVP. He's 18-1.
But I mean, so, is that just because, yeah, Shohei exists? Is that what's driving that big number?
He did walk it off, you know.
Yeah, he's already up to Shohei type things, and he's going to pitch later also, by the way.
Yeah. In a nutshell, that's why. Because Ohtani is so good. And not only do you have to beat Ohtani now you got to beat Soto. He's a second favorite. And Tatis is off to a nice start. He's got a low number there. And by the way, De La Cruz, a guy that can just do whatever with stolen bases, do whatever he wants for the most part. He's actually jumped ahead of Mookie Betts in some of the MVP odds, which is kind of interesting. But you're getting value on Tucker because Shohei Ohtani exists, and he hasn't pitched yet, and it sounds like he's going to at some point. A bet that's not Ohtani for NL MVP, we're at a point now where you're just banking on an injury happening at some point. That's where we are.
Is there anyone else who interests you in that as far as where you look at the odds and say, okay, if Shohei were to get hurt, this is the guy I would put the money, like, have? Because this reminds me of what we were looking at with Defensive Player of the Year in the NBA, because, of course, you've got to play a certain number of games. Wimby's not going to get there. So if you just grab somebody on the chance that Shohei gets hurt, who would you say to grab?
Yeah, I would go De La Cruz.
Okay.
Just because he does something else different, and he's a superstar. I would go that route, but you also have to consider there's always a New York bump when it comes to these awards. And, you know, Soto, if they have a good season, he would be certainly in the mix. He's a second favorite right now, but I would go De La Cruz. At the start of the year, he was 20-1. Also interesting for Cubs fans, Matt Shaw is now a co-favorite for NL Rookie of the Year. So he's plus 375. So early on, that's a move up. He was a second or third favorite at the start of the season.
We're talking to Joe Ostrowski, host of Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network. Joe, I also want to ask you about the possibility of Alex Ovechkin breaking the record tonight against the Blackhawks. What can you tell us about Ovi?
Yeah, that number's coming down. People are betting on a hat trick tonight. It was like in that 30, 40 to 1 range yesterday. Now I see it down to 19 to 1. The odds are heavy, heavy that he's going to do it. It's like minus 400, minus 500 that it's going to happen this season. You could bet on all sorts of things. Is it going to happen at even strength? Is it going to be a power play? Shorthanded goal. What period? What team is it going to go against? And that's what we're talking about here. The Blackhawks game is the long shot because it's a big ask. But, yeah, we were certainly talking about it on Bet Sweats today. And Layla, Paul's brother, Dan Aspen, who you know works on these Hawks broadcasts, he's praying it doesn't happen because he said they have two cameras for tonight. But, yeah, he's thinking that there's a strong possibility.
It's a big ask, but it's also a bad team, so it's less of a big ask against the Blackhawks than maybe another team. I like him to score two goals and hold off on the third. That's my personal prediction.
Anything is possible. So I do think that there's a likelihood that very well could happen.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. I feel like I have to put something on it at 19-1 at that.
Joe, you also mentioned Bears when you were throwing out ideas with us. What can you tell us about any Bears movement on anything?
Yeah, so the win totals are out. All these sports books have posted their win totals over the last week. There was just one out a week ago, but now they all have them out there. And so we're starting to see money come in and see where the smart money, the early bets at this point, a lot of it is sharper money. But we do have a win total on the Bears. And any guesses on the win total for the Bears, where they set that?
I will guess 9.5.
8.5. It's 8.5. Sharp Layla. That's what they call her in these streets.
Is that what they call her?
Nobody calls me that. They usually tell me how dumb I am and how I don't know anything about sports.
They don't call her dull, Layla. I will give her that.
Twitter's not real life, Layla. You are well aware of this.
Thank you for that affirmation.
And for that, we also have Facebook and whatever else. But, yeah, no, it's I figured as much just based on what you told us last year. So, theoretically, that was going to be somewhat similar.
I'll take the over, by the way.
Well, they're betting the under, which is interesting. So, here's the angle that, you know, that it's kind of noteworthy, is that the Bears and the Vikings have the same win total. The Vikings had 14 wins last year. They go 14-3. Now McCarthy is expected to be their starting quarterback, and their win total is the same as the Bears. While the Bears are being viewed as maybe the most improved team in the NFL, up there with teams like New England, the win total is still down because it is a very difficult road schedule for them.
Yeah, it still doesn't stop me from thinking they'll win 10 games.
That's where I'm at. I said I'd take the over.
Just because I know the line might be what it is, it still doesn't stop me from my prediction.
Something's got to give, Joe. Something's got to give.
Joe Ostrowski, thank you so much for joining us here on the Midday Show on The Score. We will enjoy the tournament more because of you, and I'm glad to hear that the survivor pool was not as bad as we thought.
Yeah, context matters, yeah. Joe. We thank you so much for stopping by.
Joe Ostrowski, host of... I'm sorry, Joe, what were you going to say?
No, good. Otherwise, there might be divorce papers served when there's that much money on the line, but yeah. No, we're good. We're good. She's over it.
She's a keeper. Joe Ostrowski, host of Bet Sweats on the Bet MGM Network. Thank you for joining us on the Midday Show. Got to talk a little football. We can't do high noon on a day like this. There's too much happening. So Case Keenum, Bears add to their quarterback room. We discuss the significance, what it means, and how we think this might look next on The Score.
We're back live with The Score Midday Show at Sluggers in Wrigleyville on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Keenum steps into it. Pass is caught.
That gives you a clue as to what we are talking about next, but it is true. We are broadcasting live from Sluggers in Wrigleyville. It is brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. This is a huge crowd. Like, people are ready for this. And I've been doing this for a few years now at The Score, Marshall. But this is a crowd that is fired up and ready for some Cubs baseball.
How does this crowd compare to, say, last year or the year before that?
I think it's bigger.
Okay.
I do, because I think the weather is more favorable now. We know. Oh, yeah, it is way bigger. We got confirmation. So there's that. I think the crowd is more early arriving. The sun shining early helps. We know that supposedly, if there is rain, it probably comes in around 3:30. It's supposed to be playable. That was the latest report we had from Ryan Porth earlier today. Zach Zaidman joins us at 12:45 to get you ready for the game. But, yeah, this is a big crowd, a festive crowd. They seem to be ready. And I think we even may have had some incidental famous cameos. But, yeah, good times for sure. Circa is here. They have a tiny wheel that you can spin for prizes. It's really adorable. So I feel like everything is happening.
I think it helps that it's not freezing outside. Let's start with that.
That is a huge part.
So it's currently 44 degrees. Also, the rain, per my latest forecast from the Weather Channel,
says
it's not going to rain until 6 p.m. That's the most likely scenario. That's when it jumps up to 36%. Now, there is, in the 3 p.m. hour and the 4 p.m. hour, a 13% chance of rain at 3, a 24% chance of rain at 4. This weather brought to you by Circa Illinois, I guess, because that's who's got us out here in these streets.
This weather brought to you by Marshall Harris. We call him Mars Hall on occasion just because it's fun. There is some big Bears news. And actually, I think there was some foreshadowing when it came to how it was discussed. The Bears have reportedly signed Case Keenum. Multiple reports saying it. 37 years old, one-year contract worth up to $3 million. Keenum coming in as what is considered, I think, Marshall, as the mentor, the veteran in the room for the Tyson Bagent and Caleb Williams combination. And that's of no offense to the Bagency. I feel like this is a voice that they probably needed to have earlier. Just as somebody veteran, the presence is there to be, you know, a sounding board and to be a reliable backup in case of whatever may come their way.
This man's been doing it for a long time. Let's start with that. He's played 11 years in the league. How many teams do you think he's been on? What number team is this for the
Bears?
Oh, my
goodness. For him?
He
might be up there with Chase Daniel on the Secure the Bag All-Stars team.
I guess the better question is, what team do you most closely associate him with? Case Keenum. NFL quarterback.
Houston, but that's because he played his college ball in Houston. At one point, he had the NCAA yards record.
So Houston's a great call because he started in Houston two seasons there where he played in 10 games. All 10 of them were starts. And he played in Houston last year where he made two starts.
That would do it for me. Yeah.
That all makes sense. So this is actually his eighth team in the NFL in what will be his 12th NFL season. And the man has been around several blocks. Right now, he's 37 years old, and he's a vet. He's the guy that they'll look to guide not only Caleb Williams, but also I don't think the Bagency is going anywhere.
No.
So he's going to be the third quarterback, and they'll have a quarterback room with three on the roster.
And it makes sense. I think Tyson Bagent has earned his keep and then some as the backup quarterback. So I don't mind that setup at all. I also am a big proponent of NFL teams carrying three quarterbacks. I know it's not as easy when roster decisions have to be made, but this is an easy decision to me when it comes to the Bears quarterback room. Have that veteran voice. He's 37. Ben Johnson is 38.
So they're going to see eye to eye on a lot of things.
You know, I mean, maybe at that point he's kind of like the Mercedes Lewis type, if you will.
They can have a throwback Madden matchup in the quarterback's room with Ben Johnson involved. I like that. I like the vibe of getting a veteran guy like Case Keenum, a guy who's seen it, been there, done that. He's got 66 NFL starts. That's five seasons worth of NFL starts.
And I know we've talked a lot about how many voices are going to be in Caleb's ear, right? Like that's a big discussion point. But I think what you're seeing overall with the Bears is an effort to bring in more veterans with more points of view who also fit what we see Ben Johnson wanting out of his players schematically, makeup-wise. I know makeup is a word that's been used a lot. And I like that part of it. Just there's a defined viewpoint when it comes to why certain veterans are coming in and how not only will they be utilized in game situations, but potentially just being there in the locker room.
We talk about winning culture all the time because the Bears don't have one. They haven't had one since Ryan Poles has been there because winning culture is only created by wins, and they haven't won nearly enough, as you point out all the time, in terms of Ryan Poles' record as a general manager, right? Well, he's making sure he brings in guys who have had winning experiences. Certainly, Houston's been in the playoffs. The year before that, he was in Buffalo. They know what playoff life looks like as well. You can go back to when he was with the Rams back in 2016. Minnesota, not a good team in Washington, not a good team in Denver, his time there. But he's done enough, is what I'm saying, to put him in a positive light, not only for us watching from the sidelines, but also the coaches who are running things.
I'm laughing because Stud sent us a text because it's hard to communicate when you're on site here. And he says, for what it's worth, Case Keenum is not in the same league as Chase Daniel, as in the Secure the Bag All-Stars. Keenum has made more money, but Daniel, with only 5 career starts, is in his own stratosphere. It's so true. It's so true. And I know that we're up against a break, but both Studs and I remembered something Ryan Poles said to Adam Hogan, Adam Johns on the Hogan Johns podcast. It seemed like this was coming, the decision for a third quarterback on the team. Do we have time to play that audio, guys? What do we think? All right, let's hear it.
Yeah, that's something Ben and I have discussed and talked about, and we're still exploring. I know, you know, free agency is kind of over, but we're still looking at some different options. We understand that there's a unique kind of like wisdom that an experienced quarterback that they can bring to the table and help a young quarterback out, especially when the coaching staff, because, you know, we have JT, who's played the game, is going to have some wisdom and perspective as well. But those guys have to go game plan and prepare, and the contact time isn't as high as someone, you know, that would be in the room. So the most important piece is making sure that it's a right fit, because that room is very, very special. It's a special room, and the personalities, the egos, all of that has to work out, you know, perfectly, or you can disrupt it significantly. So we're being very particular, but that's something, you know, we could potentially address here in the near future.
In other words, that player needs to know that role and embrace that role.
Right? Yep, absolutely. And we, you know, Tyson, in terms of his play, I know he doesn't have the wisdom and all the knowledge because he's young himself, but we know we love the skill set there and what he's capable of doing too, and that makes it tough. And that's why I love Tyson as well, is he's so competitive that, you know, if you think he's just going to get beat out, you know, you're probably going to be wrong. So just kind of seeing how the room's going to shape up.
Well, and now we know. So that ended up being some foreshadowing for sure.
A very specific choice, and it one that makes sense given all the context clues that he gave us before the signing.
Yeah, it's always nice to double back and hear what it's like after they've made the decision. So Ryan Poles letting Hogan Johns know there on their podcast what was going to go down. The timing was pretty impeccable there. We have so much more to come here from Sluggers live in Wrigleyville as we get you ready for the Cubs home opener here on The Score. Lively crowd, a lot of people in the house. Next is John Greenberg, because his sit down with Jed Hoyer is still so important to discuss even a couple weeks later. So he's here. We're going to talk to him about that and just his observations on the Cubs season as well. That's coming up next on The Score.